The ancient Greek philosopher Socrates was said to have been singled out by the Delphic Oracle as the wisest of all Greeks. When Socrates was asked about this, he replied humbly, "It is because I alone of all the Greeks know that I know nothing." So Socrates was like an empty vessel, capable of being filled with knowledge and truth, because he knew that he did not know. And similarly, the author of the first reading today was also disposed to be filled, to accept from God the one gift that had more value than all the others. Scripture scholars tell us that this author was probably King Solomon, who was considered one of the most wise persons who ever lived. When given the chance, rather than riches or health or beauty or long life, he asked God for the gift of wisdom. You see, wisdom was regarded as God's own spirit, the intelligence, the holiness, the goodness of the Creator of all things. In asking for the gift of wisdom, Solomon was already proving himself to be wise. How about us? If we were in his shoes or sandals, and we could ask God for anything we wanted, and of course we can, what would we pray for? Would it be enough money to pay off the national debt? Jobs for all who seek them? Just and decent leaders? World peace? Or would it be something more personal? The well-being of our family, our friends, our relatives, the health of a loved one, security in our old age? Or would we, like Solomon, ask for wisdom? I think it's fair to say that most people are slow or even reluctant to place high value on something like wisdom, something that can't be seen or touched or counted. Wisdom does offer security, but not of a monetary sort. And wisdom does offer power and prestige, but not in a worldly sense. Scripture tells us that wisdom is an incalculable treasure. But like all gifts from God, all blessings from God, it is a gift that cannot be earned, it cannot be bought, it cannot even be merited. It is pure gift from a gracious God, but one that we can ask for and receive, but only if we truly desire it and are open to it. And this truth is affirmed in today's gospel. The young man ran up to Jesus and knelt down before him. He knew he was in the presence of one who spoke and lived truth. He also knew that he had much to learn His question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It sounds like a good question, but his assumptions were wrong. He thought that people could achieve goodness on their own. He said, what must I do? He probably also assumed that his personal good fortune and his many possessions were somehow the result of his keeping all the commandments from his youth. That was certainly the common thinking of the day. It was thought that if you were well off, it was because somehow you were holier, better, more virtuous, more loved by God than everyone else. His final erroneous assumption was that everything could be bought for a price, including eternal life. What must I do to inherit life? The young man had much to learn. Jesus looked at him and loved him and challenged him to make a personal sacrifice. He knew the barriers in that young man's life. He knew his attachments and asked him to look at his possessions and how they had captured most of his attention and energy, and to let them go and then follow Jesus. The young seeker in this gospel went away sad. His face fell and he went away sad, preferring his possessions to whatever Jesus could offer him. Perhaps you and I would do the same. But there's a big lesson here for us, that no matter what we do, none of us earns eternal life. We can keep all the commandments until we are blue in the face. We can sign over every paycheck to charity, but still, the kingdom of God is not for sale. It never has been, and it never will be. The rich cannot buy it with their wealth, and the poor cannot buy it with their poverty. Eternal life is a gift. When the young man realized this truth, it came as a shock to him. It came as a shock to the apostles. They were astonished to hear this. Everything they believed all their life was shaken to the foundation. This young man could not cope with the challenge, and so he went away sad. Like all gospels, this one is about more than we think. It's about more than one man's choice long ago. It's about you and me. It's about our openness to God and all that God offers us. We do not deserve it just because we go to church or keep the commandments or tithe or volunteer or give to the poor. We are not worthy because we are just, honest, merciful, generous. Don't get me wrong. All of these things are good. And they should be part of our life because they flow from real faith. But ultimately, we are blessed by God. Despite our sinfulness, despite our selfishness, we are blessed by God for one reason and one reason only. Because God loves us. And to understand that is the beginning of wisdom.